Thank you all for joining us on this beautiful Sunday as we celebrate God's love and devotion to our families and to each one of us. A big thank you as we share our announcements this morning to all who helped out for our Strawberry Festival. It was a great success. We saw more people than we have in years, and I just want to extend my gratitude to dozens of volunteers who showed up, who cleaned dishes, who cut strawberries. I mean, there are people cutting strawberries from 8 a.m. yesterday and all the way up to our event, and it was really great to see us working together as a team, and it was a great ministry, great service, so thank you for all who were able to participate in that. And please don't forget, immediately following worship, those of you who are tired from being in a kitchen yesterday, this will be a great opportunity for you because we are going to Dover, and from 11 to 1, they're having a free will brunch for our Texas mission trip. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll have a brief commissioning service for those that we are sending off to Texas. Just another great opportunity to support this ministry and then help our people who are going down there. Many of our own people are going there, so it's great to support this. It is an open brunch, so as soon as we get done with worship, feel free to head down to Dover. Also, please don't forget, if you're really sick of being in the kitchen, there's also a hospice spaghetti dinner at the Elks. So if you want lunch and dinner taken care of today, you're welcome to join that. That's to support hospice, which is such a great part of our community, really providing a very important ministry. And please don't forget, Joint Board will be meeting on Wednesday at 6:30, and the trustees will meet following that. And then please don't forget, our setup for the garage sale has already begun. The garage sale will be Friday, June 22nd from 8 to 4, and Saturday, June 23rd from 9 to 2. And if you have a chance after worship, we have a few items that could be set up, so the more hands we have on deck, the quicker that can be done. And please don't forget, Brown Bag and Big Ideas will already be starting at Tusky Park tomorrow from noon to 1:15. We'll be meeting in the upper pavilion this time instead of the lower pavilion. That way it's a little more accessible to people. And thanks to Angie, she set out our new directories, which are available in the Narthex. For those of you that would like that one, it has a lot of updated addresses and phone numbers. And then, Angie, I believe you had a VBS announcement. Yeah, I'm excited to see the creative ideas that will come together for VBS this year. We're going to have our first Blessing of the Animal service as part of VBS, which will be Thursday, July 19th, and that is open not just to the participants in VBS, but to our community for people who would like to have their animals blessed. At this time, I ask if anybody else has any other announcements. Linda, yeah. Okay, so if you have any questions about that trip, see Linda, it'll be a great opportunity for our women's fellowship to get together and have some communal gatherings. Any other announcements at this time? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Morning, Rick. Morning, Angie. Morning, Jacob. Did you get abandoned this morning?
No, they were
Okay. Morning, Alicia. Morning, Tom. How's it going? Morning, Sarah. How's it going? Morning, Floyd.
Good morning.
Morning, Dave. How's it going? Good morning. Good morning, Audrey. Morning, Harley. Good. You may remain standing as we join together in our watchword for the week. And our watchword this week comes from the 130th Psalm, the second verse. We'll just give you, okay. Let us join together. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Amen. You may be seated. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. Let us join together in song as we sing for the fruit of all creation. Please remain standing.
Please join me in our reading of Our Liturgy of Christian Homes, found on page 119. Eternal God, creator of our first home and our only true rest, we gather as your family to celebrate our diverse homes and to seek your blessings on them. God of relationships, you have put within our hearts a longing that only you can satisfy. Yet we need each other to learn of your steadfast love throughout all generations. Please be seated. God, our Creator, in the garden you formed our first parents and found them good. At first, in their innocence, they trusted you and helped each other, but they sinned and fell short of your purpose for them.
Forgive us our sins, and give us grace to trust you, the goodness of your creation and your divine.
You called Sarah and Abraham to go out from their homeland and begin a new nation in covenant with you. In their old age, you gave them a child whose name meant laughter. In our homes, may we live with their trust and courage, their humor, their sense of mission.
Increase our faith and give us grace to answer your call.
You strengthened Ruth and Naomi, and in the face of grief and bitterness, to remain loyal to each other and to journey to new life.
Encourage us and give us grace to support each other.
When you came to earth, incarnate God, you had no place to lay your head. God of the stable, bless the homeless and bring them to a place of shelter.
Keep us aware and give us grace to be family to others.
Rejoicing Savior, you sanctified marriage by your presence at Cana and Galilee. You restored life and health and balance in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Be a holy guest within our homes, filling our ordinary days with newness of life and mutual joy. Suffering God, from the cross you cared for your loved ones, saying to Mary, "Woman, behold your son," and to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Bless all families and enable them to form new bonds of love. Life-giving Spirit, you came in power to form and guide the church, a family with varied gifts and graces. Grant that church and home may model for each other the nurturing of individuals and the growth of community. We recognize the difficulty of forming family with those who are different from ourselves and with those who are like ourselves. We confess our failure to love and grow, our impatience for others to change, our blindness to one another's needs. Yet we rejoice that you have given us each other, and we dedicate ourselves to mutual support and love, trusting not in our own strength, but in your strong compassion.
Bless and guide us, triune God, and enable us to support and love each other.
Please stand.
In our offerings today, we give out of a sense of family, out of the unity that God brings us all together. That genetically we may have a few brothers and sisters, but it is God who brings us all together and makes us all one family. And we are all brothers and sisters to each other. So let us give thanks to the God who unites and brings us all together as family. Please rise. Let us pray together. Good and gracious God, when we look to family, let us not just look at our blood ties, but to those in our lives we share friendship, compassion, and kinship with. We thank you for calling us to love beyond the walls of our own homes. Amen. You may be seated. In our prayers this week, we have a lot to turn over to our hearts in God in thanksgiving and both in concern. Please remember, we offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Dale Baker, who would be the brother of Tom and Gina's brother-in-law, who passed away this past week, and we continue to offer you comfort and support in this time of need. And we continue to pray for Rick Swaldo, as he continues to undergo treatments and test results. And we continue to pray for Ted Canfield, who continues to rest and recover from a recent stay in the hospital. We celebrate with Reverend Lance Fox. Those of you who don't know Lance, he served in the Columbus area a few years back. He got married to Trisha Clay yesterday at a service at Emily's home congregation in Shenick, Moravian, and we celebrate with them. We pray for those who have been dealing with the flooding this week and all the natural disasters and homes that are still recovering from that and all the challenges and hardships that come with this. We celebrate with the Bonnell family this week as Linda and Terry welcomed a new grandson, Miles, into this world. And that's number five, right? Lucky number five. and we celebrate with all of you and with their family as they get to the wonderful presence of a newborn in their life. We uplift Don Schanauer in prayer as he goes for 2 days of testing at the VA hospital, and we pray for you that you get the results that you're hoping for and that you get the answers you're looking for, and for Jim Schaefer, who's having cataract surgery this week on Wednesday. Also for Kathy, Linda Bennington's cousin, who is back in the hospital. And I ask that we keep all these people in prayer as we turn this all over to God. Let's take a moment in silence to invite God into this time of prayer. God, we come before you thankful for what you do through us every single day, being an active presence, a guiding force in our own light and our own love. And we realize that there are many people who are suffering. We think of the family of Dale Baker who lost a loved one. We think of all those who have been recently hospitalized or battling cancer. There are so many afflictions we have in this world that can isolate us. But God, we ask you to bring us back together, to remind us that we are part of your family and that we need to stand up for each other. We need to uplift each other and we need to hold each other's hands when times get tough, because it is Christ Jesus who taught us the power and the strength of laying down our lives for the people around us. And gracious God, we come before you also in thanksgiving. We thank you for the wonderful strawberry festival that we had yesterday, for all the countless volunteers who showed up and made a presence in our community. For the number of people we served who are outside of our own church family, we give thanks. And help us to continue to reach out, look for ways that we can engage our community, to not be just be a church that exists within a building, but to be a church that exists everywhere, in all places of need. And gracious God, we come before you just thankful. Thankful for the gift of family, for the gift of friendship. And we realize that you called us to be a community, that you made Adam and Eve together, that they could thrive. For we know that in isolation we struggle, but it is community where we truly thrive, where we truly love, and we truly care for each other. And we realize that it can be difficult sometimes, but you teach us. You remind us that it is worth it, and we give thanks. Help us to always share your love with all the people we encounter in this world and in the next. In your name we pray. Amen. This time we turn our attention to God's Word, and we hear from the Apostle Paul in the second chapter of Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 13 through chapter 5, verse 1. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with the Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace as it extends to more and more people may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And our gospel lesson today comes from the third chapter of Mark, verses 20 to 35. As Jesus discusses what family is. And the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he cast out demons." And he called them to them, and he called them to him, and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed that house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they have said he has an unclean spirit. Then his mother and his brother came, and standing outside they sent to him and called to him,
A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mothers and brothers?" And looking at those he sat around him, he said, "Here are my mothers and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the reading of God's holy word. May it reach your hearts, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children to come forward for our children's moment.
Come on up. You two get some brotherly love today, I guess. You guys did a good job helping out your mom today. So we're going to talk about building. What do I have in front of me? What is this? You guys know what this is? Jenga. Jenga set. You guys ever played with a Jenga set before? What's the concept of Jenga? Taking things up. Well, we're going to use our Jenga set a little bit different. So one of you, I'm going to ask one of you to be a volunteer. Who wants to be a builder? Okay. Who wants to be the knockdown person? You want to be the knockdown person, I think, Colton. Carter, I want you, I'm going to challenge you, I want you to build something in a minute and see how high you can get it, okay? So I'm going to count you on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. And now, as your brother is building this, I want you to think about how hard this is for him. I mean, it's hard to just build something up and make it really big and really strong. And we don't think about that with Jenga, but sometimes that's the hardest part. That's why kids usually quit the game, is because you have to build it all the way back up. Look at Carter go. He's already got his system now. He's 2x2. There's a ministry lesson there for you, Hustler. There you go. Keep on building it up. Did you count them out? Is it a minute yet? We'll give them 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, stop. Good job, Carter. That's a good job. All right, now, Colton, I'm going to time you. How long does it take you to tear this down? On the count of three. One, two, three. Oh, you can just smack. You don't have to do it one by one. You can just wipe it off. There we go. 4 seconds. That was a record right there. So what did you learn? Was it faster to build something up or to tear something down? Tear something down. And guess what? We learn that about people sometimes. Yeah, you got all of it pretty good, didn't you? And so when we look at how we treat each other, it's far easier to tear somebody down than to build somebody up. So that's why we as Christians are called to be patient and take our time building people up. Because guess what happens? When we build people up, are people happier or sadder? If they feel good about themselves, you're happier. And we want everybody around us to feel happy and loved. And we do that by taking time, to build people up and tell them, hey, you're really cool. You helped me out. You're an important person in my life. And because remember that. It can be so easy. Sometimes we get frustrated and upset and all we want to do is smack something. But the more time we spend investing in each other and taking care of each other, the farther all of us are going to reach and the closer to heaven each one of us is going to feel. So I want you guys to remember that. Let's take a moment and let's pray together, and then I can get you guys some snacks. Oh, you're good. We'll get in a circle right here. How about that? Perfect. I can get some brotherly love. All right, let us pray together. God, we give you thanks for Carter and Colton and for their help bringing our ministry to our church, whether they're passing out bulletins or passing our offering plate or reading scripture. We realize that our children are an important presence in our ministry, and we give thanks for that. And we ask that you protect them and guide them this summer as they get to spend more time with their family and friends and help them to enjoy that and to enjoy the little moments that they have each day. We give you thanks for this. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys, oh, let me grab your snacks for you right here. There you go. You got some Smarties or a Starburst? You got the good stuff. I think I might even get a Starburst since we'll... You can get two. I think there's only two of you. That's fair. Don't tell anybody else I did this, though, okay? At this time, let us join together in song. The hymn that we're going to sing is 5 verses, but we're only going to sing the first 3 this time. Thank you very much. Let us take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you open our hearts, our minds, our ears, and our souls to the words that you inspire us with today, and help us to listen as the humble flock listening to you on the Sermon on the Mount. In your name we pray. Amen. So I know some of you, your tails are still dragging from the Strawberry Festival, so if I start to see some heads go down a little low, I won't take that personal today, because I'm in the same boat with y'all. I'll try not to fall asleep during my own sermon, though, so we'll do that. As we look at this text, Mark 3, 20, verses 35, is a very powerful text. Here are my mothers and brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother. These are beautiful and inclusive words from Jesus. And they remind us that at Jesus' great banquet feast, there's always room for one more person at that table, one more spot. And that table keeps growing, and that's the beautiful thing about God's love, is there's always room and space for another person. However, where we might take issue in this text is with Jesus in his previous question directed to his family. And he said, who are my mothers and brothers? As he directed this to his mother Mary and to his brothers. Who are my mothers and brothers? And I think any of you who've been in a difficult family situation realize these words are hurtful to anyone who has been disowned or in deep conflict with a family member. Anybody who's dealt with a step family or somebody being adopted, and you've ever heard the words as a parent, you are not my father, you are not my mother. Those words can be very hurtful to us. But that's not the intent that Jesus had when he said these words. His words were about bringing people together. But we as Christians must realize there are times from other people in our own lives where we hear those words and that they can be hurtful. Even in what is considered the normal family, and many of you that grew up in what would be considered a normal family know it's not very normal, is it? That we all have our challenges, that I know I was a little brat when I was 5 or 6 years old, and if things weren't going my way, you ain't my mother. And we all had that. And I think what we realize when we're children, we don't realize the impact that has. We've seen somebody say that on TV, or we've seen our brother or sister or cousin say that, and we don't realize how hurtful that can be sometimes. And the reason that is so hurtful is because we are possessive of our family roles and our professional roles. We like to take charge of who we are. And the best example I can think of, Emily makes fun of me all the time because I have a pet peeve that drives me nuts, and it's when people say that all of their best friends are uncles and aunts to somebody. So I have a friend who has, I thought had like 16 brothers and sisters because they're like 7 uncles on this side and 8 aunts on this side, but they were all aunts and not uncles, uncles, if you want to call it, I don't know if that makes sense, but they were only child. And it surprised me because I'm like, you have 15 uncles and aunts, how is this, this doesn't make sense at all. And sometimes the reason I don't like that is because I'm very possessive of my role. I'm an uncle. I'm the only uncle to my 2 nieces. So I like that role. I like to take charge of that role. I like to be in command of that role. And I like to know that I'm the one that they can rely on for protection. But the challenge is there's so many other people that they can count on and rely on, and that it calls me to relinquish that role a little bit. And I learned about that as a professional this week as we went to celebrate a wedding this past week in Bensalem, Philadelphia, which is right outside of Philadelphia. And Emily's cousin Steph got married, and it was a beautiful wedding. But anyways, we were at the rehearsal dinner, and this is a huge wedding party. There are 13 bridesmaids, 12 groomsmen, and I think 29 total between the mothers and the fathers. And so this was that? Not including parents. So this is a huge wedding party. And it just so happened that the pastor who was there could not be there for the rehearsal dinner. And so I was just there as an adoring husband to be there to watch my wife, support her during this rehearsal dinner. And it was so hard for me not to go into that room and take charge because there was no pastor there. Tell everybody, all right, guys, you need to have your hands like this. Women, you need to have your bouquets like this. And you're all going to walk down like this, and you're going to give this much space. And I had to sit back in my little corner, drink my soda, and just say, Ben, that's not your job today. Nobody's calling you to do that role except for you, because you want to take possession of that. You want that role. You want to be in charge. And we struggle with that because Jesus asked us in this text to broaden our horizon, to say that you're more than just this one role or this one position, but that we all have the accessibility to do different tasks and different roles and to serve as aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters to everybody. And if you look at Jesus as his calling in this text, whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. And when I hear these words, I realize that I'm wrong to be so possessive of all the roles and the positions I have in my life, that other people can be role models to my 2 nieces, and other people can step up and do jobs and tasks. And there are times where I realize that there are people within this congregation with their actions, with their prayers, with their witness, who are being better pastors than I am. And what I need to do in those moments is to uplift those people and not try to compete with them and say, no, that's my role today. But it's to show that everybody here can be a pastor. And we as Protestants hold that in our hearts because we believe in the priesthood of all believers, that every single person in some way or another can be a pastor to another, that there are pastors who are mechanics, who are janitors, who are teachers, just by their witness, by how they carry themselves, by how they share the message of God. And what Jesus is calling us to do is, I looked it up, he's calling us basically this week in this text is to have basically an Olive Garden theology. And those of you that know Olive Garden, you remember their mottos from the early 2000s, when you're here, you're family. You remember that? And it has, I looked it up, it has changed now to we're all family here. And what's interesting is in the early 2000s is they tried to go away from this, and they went, it was something like Go Olive Garden, and it did not go well, so they went back to the family motto. And I know many people, when they hear this, when you're here, your family, they chuckle because they're scared about getting treated in a restaurant as their family would treat them, because they know how difficult some of those circumstances can be. But you have to give them credit because people remember that. When you hear that, people, when you hear the words, when you're here, your family, you almost immediately think Olive Garden. And that's something special about their mission statement. But that's how we are called to think as Christians. That when you are a part of this body, when you take Jesus seriously, it doesn't matter where you are in your walk of life, but you're family. You're a part of this. And it doesn't matter how important or unimportant you think you are, but you belong. And that's what's special about following Jesus. And my favorite, when I think about the idea of our concept of family expanding, I was thinking about my favorite movie growing up. Did any of you watch Remember the Titans with Denzel Washington? That was probably, besides The Sandlot, that was my go-to childhood movie, if I got to pick out a movie when I was a little boy. And it's a story about a football team in the 60s and 70s that integrate in South Carolina. And they have a difficult task of doing this because many of them were taught to hate each other. But it's the idea of getting them together in community, breaking down those stereotypes where they learn to love each other. And one of my favorite scenes is when the All-American middle linebacker in Remember the Titans is in a car accident, and he finds out that he's paralyzed before the state championship game. His best friend is the African-American defensive end, and he goes to visit him in the hospital. And as he goes to the hospital room, the nurse looks at him, and he goes, "Son, what are you doing here? This is for family only." And it's there that the All-American linebacker shouts out, she goes, "Alice, are you blind? That's my brother. That's my best friend. That is my family right there. Can't you see the family resemblance right there?" And it was just a touching scene, because it was a scene that showed that their concept of family had changed. That it wasn't just about genetics. It was about who was providing the love in their family. And we should all think about that. Who is calling us to be more loving, more faithful, more encouraged in our discipleship of Jesus? Those are the people that are our true family. And the other part of this text we should look at is a statement where Jesus says, it's a very famous text, you hear it quoted in a lot of political messages, is a house divided against itself cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And it makes me think of all the tension and the anxiety and the animosity between the political parties in our nation, all the hatred that exists between those two. And what I find is the more we invest our energy into arguing with one another, the more we lose the focus on the important issues that impact all of us. Because we realize that a poor Republican is impacted by the same problems as a poor Democrat. And a perfect example of this is our health care. Who here in this room thinks we pay way too much for our health care? Who thinks they pay way too much? I see a couple double hands up there. So that's something Democrat and Republicans, we all seem to agree on. And I want to share with you some statistics about health care that angered me this past week from a Time magazine article entitled "Bitter Pill: Why Medical Bills Are Killing Us." And this was written by the writer Stephen Brill. And when I read this article, I got really frustrated with how our healthcare industry was working in our country. And let me read some of these statistics that were in this story. According to a study by McKinsey and Company, we as a country spend more on healthcare than the next 10 biggest spenders combined. So if you take us at number 1 and you take 2 to 11, our healthcare spendings would not equal what the next 10 countries spend. And then one thing that really infuriated me, nonprofit cancer centers can charge about a 400% markup for life-saving shots. So an example would be if you need a life-saving shot for a cancer treatment, it could cost $3,000 for that cancer center to buy it. And they can charge patients upwards of over $13,000 for that same shot. A 400% markup. And then you look at some of how these organizations operate. 14 administrators at New York City's Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center make over $500,000. And 6 of their administrators make over $1 million. So that's all money that doesn't go back to patients. And then this one really, really frustrated me was that out of the 2,900 nonprofit hospitals which are exempt from income taxes, average higher operating profits than the 1,000 for-profit after income tax obligations of companies that are for-profit. So basically, nonprofit hospitals are banking more than for-profit hospitals because of the tax breaks they were getting. And this is not to attack hospitals. I think hospitals provide great care for people. but this is to talk about how we as a country dialogue about this. Because we spend all our time and our energy arguing the bitterness about who needs to pay for this, who is responsible for paying for this. But we invest no energy into saying, why does it cost so much in the first place? Why does it cost 10 times more in America to have cancer than any other country? And I think that's an issue that if you talk to people who are Democrats and you talk to people with Republicans, that they would all agree that it costs too much. And that if we took time to seriously talk about the issues we disagree with, you'd find that we agree on 90% of the basic foundations, of helping people out. But yet we spend all our time arguing, tearing our house down. And it impacts all of us because we all are affected by that. Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. And you see this with how we as a country survive. And maybe it'll take some time to realize, but we need to realize that what impacts somebody on the opposite political party impacts me as well. And that's why Jesus says we are all brothers and sisters. Because what impacts one of us eventually impacts all of us. And this is why Jesus challenges us to see each other as family. Because the more compassionate we are towards one another, the less we focus on blame, and the more we focus on the well-being of our brothers and sisters. Because selfishness, it wants us to hide behind our labels, behind those things we like to define ourselves with. But whoever does the will of God is my brother, my mother, and my sister. Imagine if that was our label. It wasn't Democrat, it wasn't Republican, it wasn't black, it wasn't white, it wasn't male, it isn't female. Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother. And you hold that in your heart, and your idea of family expands greatly. It's inclusive. It welcomes all. Because the blessing that we get to hear today is that the requirements for serving God are as easy as they could possibly be. Anybody can do it. Anybody has the opportunity to serve God. However, the benefits we receive from following Jesus, those are eternal. And when we truly invite everybody to be our family, to sit together as brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, when we truly have that table where there is room for chairs on both sides, that is when the ministry of Jesus will truly change the world. And the good news is it already has, and it will continue to change the world as long as we continue to follow in those footsteps. And it isn't always the easiest path, but it is a worthwhile path. Because when it comes down to it, we are all family, and we are all children of God. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us pray together. God, we give you thanks for the gift of our family, that you look us in the eye and you declare each one of us to be your children. We realize that sometimes it can be hard to see that the people we disagree with, the people who anger us, the people who upset us, are our brothers and sisters. But you call us to love, because love is so much stronger than hatred. And when we love each other, we can take care of each other, watch out for each other, and help each one of us serve God the best we can. But we realize you call us as children of God to be servants and disciples. Help us to serve you in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. In your name we pray. Amen. I ask you now to please rise as we join together for hymn number 401, Hearts with Loving Hearts United.
that we are his members. We reflect the light he is. He the masters, we disciples. He is ours and we are his. Each other and our selfish claims deny, so that each one for the other will not hesitate to die. Even so, our Lord has loved us. For our lives he gave his life. Still he grieves and still he suffered for our selfishness and strife. You have demanded that our lives your love should show. Commanded forth into your world to go, kindling us love's compassion. Faith and hope, the promise of a new humanity.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.